passing before Brother Joe begins to speak. I don't think there's any special announcements, are there, this morning? Or any special prayer requests?
I'm not sure if Long was going to make an announcement this morning or not, but I may make a brief announcement, and that is that some of you have been saying that you would like a Bible, and we're trying to make them available for you. The general theme is that if you come to 5 meetings, you get a Bible. We're happy to give you one. So tell your friends that we've got some extra Bibles we want to give away. And the encouragement is you come. If you'd like to speak to us, then I suggest that you get a hold of us one way or another. We'd like to get to know you. We'd like to help you with any spiritual problems that you may have. So those are our very brief announcements for this morning. Let's have a word of prayer, and then Joe can speak to us. Lord, we want to thank you for the wonderful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And fact is, Lord, that it is really good news, and we're happy to be able to tell it again today. We pray that you will give Joe the right words that he can explain the plan of God, the love of God, and the salvation from sin that God offers to all of us. So, Lord, help us today. May we have understanding hearts, may we have open minds, and may we receive the truth of God with joy and with belief and with obedience. And so, Lord, we just commit it all to you. Thank you for being together today. Thank you for the privilege, but Lord, help us to respond to your wonderful message. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Joe. Please.
Amen. Well, I don't want to be an alarmist, but Christians, Bible teachers, and evangelists all over the world are believing that this pandemic is perhaps bigger or more significant in a spiritual way than we ever anticipate. And I just want to encourage any of you and all of you that the Bible does predict that there is coming a time when things are going to radically change on earth. Some have suggested that that time is beginning or starting to begin. And if there's one thing that all of us need, is that we make sure that we are trusting the Lord Jesus in these days, that we're not ignoring the circumstances, but we prepare ourselves for whatever is ahead. Let me suggest that for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the child of God, who've seen themselves as a sinner and trusted Christ as their Savior, you will be rescued. You do have hope. Jesus is coming back to take his own, to be with him in heaven forever and ever. But woe be to those who are left. It's not going to be good. And so we need to heed this wake-up call. Things are developing at a rate, accuracy, that some feel could actually be true, that Satan himself is behind this. I cannot dogmatically make statements, but I can tell you the enemy of your soul is against God in every way. And he wants to take as many people to hell with him as he can. So we need to be aware. We need to be alert. And we need to be trusting the Bible, the Word of God. And so that's my admonition to you today. Please, please consider what we are about to study from the Word of God today. Now, if you have a Bible, I'd like for you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Now, for the last 2 weeks, we have taken up a theme that has to do with Jesus Christ and the cross. 2 weeks ago, we read from John chapter 3 about the serpent in the wilderness, a serpent on a pole, and compared that to Jesus Christ on a cross. Last week, we talked about the cross and what Jesus did on the cross, how that he died for your sins on the cross, that he paid the penalty of your sins on the cross, that he received the wrath of God so that you might receive forgiveness of sins. He represented you. The wages of sin is death, and the Lord Jesus died in your place. God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we asked you last week, what is your response to Jesus dying on the cross? Now, while Jesus was on the cross, he spoke 7 times. 7 statements, all recorded in your Bible, from the cross. And 7 is the number of perfection, which means Jesus spoke exactly what God wanted him to say and wanted us to hear in perfection. Not 6, not 8, 7 times from the cross. We're going to look today at the 2nd saying that Jesus made when he was on the cross. The 2nd one. Let me remind you what the others were. The 1st one, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." The 3rd one, he said, "Woman, behold thy son." The disciple that he loved, he said, "Behold thy mother." And then the 4th one, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" These 4 sayings began about 9 o'clock in the morning and ended about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then from 3 o'clock till about 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon, he said, "I thirst." He said, "It is finished." And then he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, my life. Seven statements from the cross. Now, I want to read for you so we get the context, beginning in verse 33 of Luke chapter 23. Now, let me remind you that even though there are seven statements, and even though there is an order, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, there's no list in the scriptures. You have to read all four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All four of those gospels will give you the seven cries from the cross. And you put those together in order. There is an order, the order that I just gave you. So we're going to read the sayings that we're going to read today are going to have number 2 in the sayings. And I want to read the context, beginning in verse 33 of Luke's gospel and chapter 23. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left hand. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. Verse 35. And the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. Verse 39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged with him blasphemed or railed against him, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. We'll end our reading there. There's several considerations about this second cry from the cross. One thing I know for sure, that there's many false doctrines circulating even among so-called Christian churches that are refuted, significantly shown to be false just by this one statement. For instance, there are some who teach that if you keep church ordinances, or the sacraments, they might call them, or the doing of good deeds, or the doing of good works. That is what you need to do to go to heaven. Well, this saying from the cross completely refutes that. I'll tell you why. This criminal was promised paradise that very day. He was never baptized. He never went to a communion service. He never joined a church. He never participated in rituals or ceremony. And he never even had a chance to show or to do any good works. And so the keeping of rituals and doing good works and being baptized and going to communion or even what we call the Lord's Supper, not necessary for salvation. Something else that is refuted is a teaching called universalism, which means everybody's going to heaven. And yet in our reading today, only one man was promised to go to paradise that day. Not all, just one. Jesus said, today you shall be with me. Not all of you shall be with me. One other thing is, there is a teaching that after you die, the soul goes to sleep. And sometime, some way, somehow, while the soul sleeps, your eternal destiny could be changed. They teach there is an unconscious state. They teach that there is a waiting period. Now, that is not the case. For in our reading today, the Lord Jesus said, today you will be with me. Full consciousness of where you are immediately in the presence of the King. False teaching. If they would only listen carefully to the Word of God, they would understand keeping church order, everybody's going to be saved, or there's another chance after death. All are incorrect, wrong teaching. Now, let's look at this saying from the cross. I'm going to divide it up into two parts. The first part was the questions that the two thieves asked. And the second part, the answer that the Lord Jesus gives. First part, the first question by the first criminal that hung beside the Lord Jesus on the cross. You will notice in verse 39, and I read again, one of the criminals who were hanged railed on him, blasphemed, spoke evil of him. You can almost hear the sarcasm in his voice. If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. This appeal, this request, is what I might call a physical salvation. Save us. Save yourself. Save us. But notice how he prefaced his question. If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. It was the same mocking crowd, the words that they used. If he's the Christ, let him save himself. If God will have him. If you are the Christ, save yourself. The criminal that picked up on the chant, the mocking, the scorning from the crowd. All he wanted to do was get out, get off, escape, get away. I call this a request for a physical deliverance, a physical salvation. Let me remind you that Jesus is not a pill that you take for the problems of life. Jesus is not an escape from trials and troubles and condemnation. Jesus does not offer you a physical deliverance from the troubles. And this guy, as we learn, deserved it all. He was a bad guy. He was a criminal. He was dying for his crimes. And he says, let's get out of here. If you can do it, if you're the Christ, save yourself and save me, and let's go. Let's escape. Salvation had nothing to do with sin. This man's salvation had everything to do with getting away with sin and escaping the penalty that was due him. Just get out of here. Second request was different. Notice it in verse 40. But the other answering, notice what he says. First, he rebuked the first man. He said, don't you even fear God? We're hanging here because we are getting the just reward of our deeds. He understood that. We are criminals. We have broken the law. We are under the law, and we are dying because of the consequences of our deeds. And it's just, it's right, we should. But then he said, this man hadn't done anything wrong, speaking about the Lord Jesus. A couple of things, or several things I want to notice about this request. First of all, he didn't say to the Lord Jesus, if you are, then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me. Notice the word, when you come into your kingdom. When? He recognized, first of all, they deserved what they were getting, both of the criminals. Secondly, it was right to get it. It was just that Jesus had done nothing wrong. He was an innocent man. He addresses him as Lord, and he says, remember me. Now look, the other guy, the first criminal, notice what he said. He said, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and us. The second guy says, I'm not worried about anybody else. Remember me. This tells us about a personal relationship. Remember me when you come in to your kingdom, when you establish your kingdom. That man looked around, he saw the other criminal dying, he saw Jesus dying, and he knew he was dying. Everything in his mind and his body said, this is the end. It is over. But he looked beyond the end. And he said, I don't know when it will happen. I don't know how long it will be. I don't know how it's going to happen. But when you establish your kingdom, would you remember me? Now, there's something very interesting about these two requests. Very interesting. They are both and what we call the continuous action tense. We don't get it in the English. It looks like The first guy says, save yourself and us if you're the Christ. One time. And then it looks like the other one said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. One time. However, in the original language, we are told that these are in the continuous action. You say, what does that mean? That means these appeals, requests, were made over and over. One says, if you're the Christ, save yourself and us. The other said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Save yourself and us. Remember me when you come in. Save yourself and remember me. Back and forth, back and forth. Continuous action. One says, let's get out of here. The other says, win the day. Fight the battle. Win the crown. Remember lost sinners. Finish the work. Save yourself and us. Remember me when you establish your kingdom. Someone has suggested heaven waits, hope trembles, Old Testament saints wonder what will happen. Now let's look at the Savior's answer. The answer I will break up into two parts. The first part, and we find in verse 43, the first part, Jesus says in the Old King James, verily, verily, or amen, amen, let it be, or you may have translated most assuredly. In other words, I guarantee. Verily, amen, most assuredly. Notice the language. He says, assuredly, I say to you, not to the other guy, not to the first criminal, save yourself and us. No, to you who said, Lord, sovereign, king, remember me when you come into your kingdom. To you. He said, so be it. The answer is yes. This is a commitment. This is confirmation. This is assurance. Most assuredly, it's as though Jesus is saying to him, I will not fail. You can count on me. I'm going through with it. I will march into the face of hell and pay the penalty of your sin so that you can be with me. And I will bring you with me. I take sides with you today, not the other criminal. Hope revives. Heaven rejoices. Old Testament saints on their knees, the penitent thief can hardly believe what he hears. Think about it. Think about it. This thief who said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, had no idea what's going to be today. No idea. I don't know. However, for Jesus to say most assuredly, guarantee, today,
Hello, Joe. Can you hear us, Joe?
I think something wrong with his network. Yeah, okay. Yes.
All right. What we're looking at, the second part of gives to the criminal who said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He says, "Amen, verily, verily, assuredly, confidently, and I guarantee," and this is what he says, "today you shall be with me in paradise." Just break it down shortly. We won't take long. First of all, let me say that the Bible is very, very clear that today is the day of salvation. You say, what today are you talking about? This day. This is the day. This is less time to repent in. There may not be a tomorrow. So the guarantee is today is the day of salvation. It's what we call the present tense. And not only that, remember how we said the request are in what we call the continuous action? If you're the Christ, save yourself and us, over and over. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, over and over. When Jesus answers, it's in what we call the perfect tense. Bingo, one time is enough. I guarantee today you're going to be with me in paradise. We don't have to repeat that. We don't have to say it over and over. The word of God is true and amen. And what Jesus says, he means, and what he means, he says, and he says, thou, not everybody, personal. Make it personal. And then he gives the promise. You will be, you shall be. There's no doubt about it. This is what I guarantee. Notice, you shall be where? Get this. With me. Salvation is a person, not a place. Salvation is Christ. You've got to have Christ. You're trying to get to heaven. You're not doing it God's way. You've got to get to Christ. Christ is the only salvation that we know of. So the Lord Jesus said, today you'll be with me. First with Jesus, and then Jesus will take you to the place called paradise, the abode of God. Sometimes the cults, the false religions, they want to argue about where they're going to live. They're going to live in heaven, they're going to live on earth. I say, boys, wait just a minute. I settle the whole thing. Wherever Jesus is, that's where I'm going to be. Now, he said in John 14, if I go away, I'll come again, listen, and receive you unto myself. There it is. That where I am, there you may be also. Salvation is a person, the Lord Jesus, not a place. Oh, he can take you wherever he wants. You're safe in the arms of Jesus. And so the guarantee was today, that day, that very day, an unbelievable day in the life of a criminal. Now part of a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus has got to die on that cross. Jesus has got to shed his blood for that criminal. Jesus has got to be buried. And Jesus has got to raise from the dead the third day. The Bible is very, very clear. You know who else is at that cross? There's a congregation of people. There's a lot of people there that day from every walk of life. We talked about it last week. One of the unique individuals that was at that cross that day, do you remember last week, was his mother, Mary. She was there. You probably can't get, would I dare say, a better earthly person. Christ is perfect. Nobody else perfect. But Mary, the mother of Jesus, could we dare say she was a good person? But she needed a sacrifice for her sins. She's there. Probably can't get a person worse than the criminals crucified that day. They're there because what they did. We got probably the worst people on the cross, and we probably got some of the best people, the mother of the Lord Jesus. They're all at the cross. They all need a Savior. Mary needs a Savior. The criminal needs a Savior. Are you listening to me? You need a Savior. This is not universal. Remember me. There was a book by G. Campbell Morgan called Gold from Golgotha, I believe. Don't hold me to it. There's a story there I pass on to you. The story is about an old spy who under the leadership of Nero. Now, Nero hated Christians. It is said that he light up Christians, set them on fire for candles for his orgies. It's unbelievable what this man would do. He would take them to Rome, to the Colosseum, and play with them, feed them to the lions, entertainment. So there was a spy that worked for Nero. And this spy would get the confidence of the Christians and go into their home. He would take notes. He would remember their names. He would turn them into Nero. Nero would send his soldiers. They would go and get the Christians, bring them back, put them to death, feed them to the wild beast, whatever he wanted to do. At last, the Christian community figured out who the spy was, the old spy. Would they dare even pray for him? Nobody worse than a spy like that. But when one day, even though he seemed to be damned while he lived, they prayed. And this man sat in the Colosseum watching the Christians die, saw Christ in the face of these martyrs. He couldn't believe that he had done what he had done. He repented and trusted Christ and went to Nero, and he confessed, "I am a Christian," he said. Boldly professing Christ. They took him, tied him to the stake, and burned him alive. As he died, his persecutors could hear him denounce Nero, and then lifting his voice to heaven, and Jesus, Jesus, gave the welcome from Jesus that day. None are turned away who repent. None are turned away who trust Christ. Nobody is turned away. There are no hopeless cases. But suppose he had waited. Suppose he had not turned to Christ. A preacher was trying to express the urgency at the end of his message. He says, today is the day of salvation. Be careful of the danger of putting it off. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. And from the crowd, from the congregation, a man shouted out, what about the thief on the cross? He put it off. The preacher quickly responded, which thief? Which thief? One put it off and went to a devil's hell. One, by the grace of God, went into paradise with Jesus Christ that day. What kind of salvation are you looking for? A quick fix? A fix? Or forgiveness of sins? And the guarantee of heaven with your Savior, the Lord Jesus. I end my message today by asking you this question. Which thief represents you? Which thief? Today is the day of your salvation or the day of your judgment. Trust Christ today. Please do not wait. Father in heaven, you are a loving and kind and gracious and long-suffering heavenly Father, not willing that anyone should perish. However, you are a holy and a righteous and a just God. And all who will not trust Christ will be condemned. But all who do will be saved. And Father, today we're praying that you might reveal to our own hearts our own sinful nature, and that we might look to the Lord Jesus and only Jesus, the Alpha, and bear our sin in his body on the tree, the cross, that we might have sins forgiven and life with Jesus forever. Father, I pray everyone listening to this message today might take sides with the criminal who says, Lord, remember me for them through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.